Let a news update. This is a news update. It's Neighbourhood Watch.
This week on Neighbourhood Watch, our Australian correspondent Radio Adelaide's Zoe Canandes talked to me about cabinet reshuffles in Canberra, another sexual misconduct allegation, and changes to the main federal benefit. Here's Zoe.
Right. While we were off air, quite a lot of things happened in Canberra.
Yeah, so I feel like potentially maybe you and your audience might think I'm a bit of a broken record lately, but we really are seeing this incredible movement towards Parliament House, Canberra and the government to end sexism and sexual assault within the walls of Parliament House. It's been a really full-on couple of months. You would have all heard me speak about Brittany Higgins and the Christian Porter ordeal, and it's all sort of accumulating at the moment. We can see that Scott Morrison is hugely losing the vote of women, however remaining the same for men. We're seeing huge protests, movements. I think I might have, the weeks are all a bit blurred, but there was a massive protest on International Women's Day and Scott Morrison didn't address the crowd. But he has been criticised the past couple of weeks for going to AFL or NRL games and going and shaking the players' hands and getting around them, but can't actually meet with people who are at the front of Parliament House demanding change. So we've seen a very interesting move from Scott Morrison in the past couple of weeks. We saw a massive cabinet reshuffle for him, and it was his plan to get more women and have a bigger focus on women within his cabinet. So now out of the 23 cabinet people for the coalition, 7 are now women. So huge focus. I wouldn't be able to tell you if this is a genuine move by Scott Morrison or if this is Scott Morrison preserving his political stance within Australia. But the cabinet move is very, very interesting. It aims to prioritise the need of women. He said that it is a shake-up of the things that need to be shaken up. For some reason, Scott Morrison declared that Australia has a Prime Minister for women. This is potentially news that might have got to you all already. Prime Minister for women was such a weird term. I think most people just kind of laughed it off because I feel like any Prime Minister should have been a Prime Minister for women. And a few big changes within his cabinet to sort of highlight and focus on women. But as I said, out of the 23, there's only 7 women. And I'm pretty sure they're all white women too.
What about Christian Porter himself and Brittany Higgins' old boss, Linda Reynolds? Are they still remaining in cabinet after the reshuffle?
So it's Christian Porter will be stepping down. I don't think he's going to be the Attorney General anymore. Sorry that I can't necessarily 100% confirm that, Justin. We've also seen some really quite graphic stories coming out of Parliament House. So if you don't want to hear sort of those details, I'd just turn down your radio now. It'll be discussing incidences of sexual harassment. But we've heard stories coming out of Parliament of MPs filming up women's dresses with the cameras. And we also saw a junior staffer masturbating over the desk of a female cabinet member and videoing it and sending it to his mates and having a laugh about it. And then there's Christian Porter, and there's also the other really massive allegations, and it's so messy and so awful. It's almost hard to talk about, to think that this is the house that rules the country that I live in. But all of these, Scott Morrison has set them all off for empathy training. So the consequences right now, and what is really causing a lot of outrage, is that all of these men aren't getting properly punished or facing consequences that you would normally face if you were in any other workplace within Australia. Instead, they're going to be, quote, literally called empathy training. I have no idea really what it entails, and it feels really bleak. And, it feels very frustrating, obviously, that you know, these men are sort of getting away with their actions.
Yeah, it's a very bad 3 months, past 3 months, obviously. But do you reckon that revelations about these horrific incidents and what's happening in your own parliament would spark more discussions about sexual violence all over the country, not just within political circles?
Oh, yeah, it absolutely has. And we're so lucky to have so many people at the forefront of this movement who expel confidence and give us all courage to be able to stand up in our own worlds, in our own workplaces, and there does feel like a really good sense of hope, and it feels like there is something that's going to change, it's going to be significant. We're just all sort of waiting for it. But yeah, absolutely, I think it definitely is sparking this conversation everywhere. Hopefully not just in the public spaces, but also in the private spaces, which is also very important.
Okay. Still staying in Canberra, and now there has been changes to the main job seeker benefit.
Yes. So about a year ago, Scott Morrison announced that he would be giving the job keeper COVID supplement, which is a welfare payment, birthing out of the COVID-19 crisis and paying people for their wages that they would have lost because of coronavirus. and also the job seeker, which is already the welfare payment here in Australia. If you don't have a job and you are looking for a job, or you can't work, you get to go on job seeker. And there was also a supplement that was on the top of the regular job seeker payment that allowed our welfare payment to actually be above the poverty line, which it had not been ever. And the welfare payment had not changed since 1994 until literally a year ago when they put on this COVID supplement. It empowered so many people to be able to live and eat fresh food, simple things like that. And now, unfortunately, it is gone. The government have sort of upped job seeker by, I think, $50 a fortnight, and the payment is still below the poverty line. They've also increased when you're on when you're on job seeker, I guess the name says it all, is that they make you apply for like 20 jobs a week, for example, and you have to lodge all that within your little portal online. They've upped those sort of that criteria, and it is a very stressful process, and you have to go to a job agency, and I mean, need I say more, I don't know what job agencies are like in New Zealand, but they're awful here in Australia. And so this is just a really devastating step. It'll be interesting to see what this happens to the economy. Our Treasurer, Josh Frydenberg, has said that it had to end and that it will actually revitalise the economy. But it's hard to sort of imagine how this could revitalise an economy when we're suddenly plunging millions of people below the poverty line once more.
Right, but when you say earlier that the main JobSeeker benefit was raised $50 per fortnight, is that enough for, let's say, a student living in Adelaide to survive?
No. You wouldn't. You could maybe pay the rent, and you could maybe buy like a couple of things for dinner. Like it's just not enough at all. You could, I mean, not in Adelaide CBD, certainly not. Potentially in the suburbs, like if rent was lower, say you're paying like $120 a week, but it would be almost impossible. And then if you put on any sort of other lifestyle, you know, a phone bill, for example, like you just couldn't do it. You could not absolutely live off this payment.
That was Neighbourhood Watch. Ripper.